and then he also helped me to understand that we will be amending the constitution so that we can stay for 7 years. 2 more years, thanks. No, that was on a lighter note. Morning, members. We need to start, and everyone who's here, and the legal service. I'm told that the legal service, as you may know, that they are servicing not only us but the cluster. They're supposed to be assisting the labor committee, the committee on labor, to process some of the bills or bills which they are busy with. So they have requested that probably we must start with them. Then we can continue the other issues so that they can be able and attend the other part of work. I've got apologies here from the Deputy Minister to two departmental commitments, and the second one is from Honorable Van der Merwe. I think she's attending on behalf of the IST member, the Appropriation Committee. Those are the two written apologies I'm having. I'm not dealing with verbal and other things. The last one is that Honorable Killen requested that she need to be released at a certain time, which was not disclosed. to go and prepare for, I won't tell them what are you preparing for, but to go and prepare for a matter of national importance. Okay. So those are the apologies which I'm having. Can we get on with it? On our agenda, we've got the briefing by the legal services. Then we will deal with the BSA strategic plan and budget report. We've got our own strategic plan workshop report, and then our last two sets, the last 2 sets of minutes for 4 and 5 June, which we also need to deal with. I think we should be able to deal with all these matters and be finished probably the latest earlier than 1 o'clock. Because we don't have to be here. It is not necessary for us to be here. I'll go to the first item and hand it over to the legal service just to take us through. Members will remember that this is the request which we have requested them about the possibilities, as we were discussing last week about the issue of the SABC and the Broadcasting Act amendments and so on. We just said they must prepare something and just present it. Then we'll see ourselves as a committee how to take it forward after that and so on. I won't put you on the spot like the other committee where there is an issue about legality and morality. I hope it does not arise yet on this one. Legal service.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, members. The opinion that I'm speaking to is the result of the committee meeting last week where members indicated that there may be a need to amend the Broadcasting Act to extend the period for which the interim SABC board can be put in place. I looked at the rules of the National Assembly for the possibility of the committee introducing a committee bill. And the National Assembly initiates legislation primarily through its committees. In terms of Rule 230, then read with Rule 238. And for that to be done, the committee, if the desirability is there to amend or extend the period for which the interim board can function, the committee will have to table a memorandum of seeking permission from the National Assembly to introduce a committee bill with such an amendment. For purposes, just to assist the committee and to assist the consideration, as Annexure A to the opinion, we have attached an example of such a memorandum in which the committee will then seek permission to amend the Broadcasting Act. With the we took the liberty, but committee members can change it, just from the discussions and deliberations last week, to have the purpose of the bill stating that the reason then, for example, the committee would seek such an amendment is to allow sufficient time to give due consideration to the appointment of permanent board members. That, in the opinion we highlighted, can be justified because there's two role players in the appointment process. It's the appointing authority, which in terms of the legislation would be the president, but also the National Assembly, which works through the committee as the recommending authority. So there's two processes to be taken into consideration when a permanent board is actually appointed. And if you have to take into consideration the requirements and the skills necessary when somebody is a permanent appointment, that needs to be given due consideration to make sure that the person can effectively serve or assist and make the permanent board an efficient functioning board. So the memorandum basically highlights that as a possible purpose and then the object, obviously, with the extension. In terms of the technical amendment the committee discussed in the previous meeting, we don't see any possible financial implications. It's a mere time difference that will come in. It's not something that will require great regulation or different mechanisms to be put in place. So we can't foresee financial implications that would hamper or that would halt such a proposal or lead to it being sent down. But when the committee then requests permission from the National Assembly for a committee bill, it is for the National Assembly ultimately to grant permission to decide whether they want to deny it or allow it. If the National Assembly allows it, they are giving that resolution. The National Assembly can express itself on desirability and can also make the permission subject to conditions. And that then is a discretion the National Assembly has. But once permission is granted, I recall that the committee had concerns as to the time for processing, seeing as the interim board only has 3 months left, if I recall correctly, be in place legally, then there's no board, so there's nobody actually running the SADC. That would be a concern. So we looked at the rules and to see how, in terms of the rules, there's a possibility to almost streamline in an efficient way, but still with due consideration to public participation to speed up the process. For that purpose, we have prepared a possibility of a draft, a bill for the committee with two options, but I will speak to that in a second. In terms of our rules, if a committee already has a draft bill ready, as it would be introduced, instead of merely gazetting an explanatory memorandum or an indication of what the committee bill would be about, the committee can in place of that, in terms of Rule 239 then and 241, can gazette that bill as to be introduced, along with the memorandum to the bill. And then along with that, at the same time, in the Gazette, do a call for interested parties to comment on it, which will, in effect, then be the first step to public participation. So in terms of Rule 241, it's almost like a combination of you have the bill and the call for public participation all at once instead of having it delayed. And then once that is there and it goes to a first reading and the National Assembly then officially refers the bill to the committee can then supplement with a shorter call in the media for additional comments from the public. The reason why this is allowed is in terms of the Doctors for Life judgment of the Constitutional Court, there is no set form for public participation. Every bill and every context allows Parliament to decide what the need or what form public participation should be. You look at the scope of the bill, the impact, the importance, and all of that will be taken into consideration. And we are of the opinion that Rule 241, read with Rule 249, then interpretation-wise, is a committee almost at an early stage already alerts the public through the Gazette and the stakeholders that it's willing to hear input while in the formulation stage already, that should be sufficient. But that is then obviously the discretion of the committee, as it lies with the discretion of Parliament to decide what form public participation it takes. The main issue with public participation is merely there must be facilitation. You must facilitate, you must have steps in place, and the public must be able to get their opinion to the committee and to Parliament, for Parliament then to have due consideration to that. If I can take the members to Annex B, which is the proposed Broadcasting Amendment Bill. We took the liberty of just drafting two options for the committee. It is merely options just to give the committee an idea of something to work with if committee members are in favor.
She's referring to annexures, etc., but we don't have anything. Not, I don't have anything before me. Do we have a written submission?
You don't have it, the copy?
No.
Oh, my apologies. I thought you had it. It's somewhere. Not marginalized, privatized. We can nationalize it. Tambi? Oh. My apologies, Doctor. I thought the members are they are having it. No, we are good in that. Keep it up. But my apologies, I took for granted that we got the case with you and so. Doctor, so do you want her to start or to continue? To continue. You can continue, Doctor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies, members. Then perhaps just if members have the documents in front of them now, Annexure A, then just is the purpose, object, and financial implications. That would then be the request tables in the National Assembly to formally seek permission. And then Annexure B is the document that will then, or the proposed document to be gazetted along with a call for public submission, a bill then as to be introduced. The options we highlighted in the proposed amendment bill, just to give the committee some idea of where to start or to have some consideration of a possible amendment, we thought of two alternatives. There's, if you look at section 15A3B, which is the clause in section in question in the Principal Act, to have a clause that says there is an appointment for a period of 6 months, but make the extension a discretion that the appointing a body or the appointing authority the President has, but make that upon recommendation of the National Assembly. So if the committee then sees that there's a need to extend the 6 months or at least make it renewable almost for a further period, that's the renew option of an amendment that the committee can consider. Or then the alternative is a mere replacement of the 6 months with a number of months that the committee sees appropriate. Both of these are policy decisions, and we're merely making suggestions or proposals to the committee for consideration. And the 12 months that we inserted there, that's also just an arbitrary number for purpose of illustration. So that then is an idea of how such an amendment could look. And then further on, it's just mere, I want to almost say legal jargon. The Act is called the Broadcasting Amendment Act. It's all your drafting formalities that must be taken into consideration. And then also in terms of the rules, as the rules require when a bill is gazetted as to be introduced, it must have a memorandum of objects attached to it. So for purpose to facilitate the committee's decisions, decision whether to continue, we also attached a draft memorandum of objects, which just elaborates on what the committee said in the previous meeting and puts it in a formal document. With regards to parliamentary process, I can perhaps just point out that the committee, in terms of the rules, must consult the JTM as to the tagging of such an amendment bill. It is our opinion that, in terms of what the committee said and the scope of the bill, it shouldn't be anything else except the Section 75 bill, so the processing should also be speedier than a Section 76 process. Committee members would possibly also have to keep into consideration Parliament's program. That changes, so unfortunately we can't speak to that. But if the committee decides that an amendment is needed, is desirable, and goes this route, we can, in terms of the rules, say which will be the speedier process for public participation. But I think my colleague, Ms. Ngoma from the committee section, if committee members have questions as to when plenary is and when Parliament's period for processing of bills must be in that time frame, can be provided in terms of the parliamentary program. Also, what must be kept in mind is the committee will also have to liaise with counterparts in the select committee to see what their program is like, because for the bill to be processed within 3 months, to not leave the SABC without somebody running it, which will be a problem, that needs to be streamlined. The parliamentary program needs to allow for it, the select committee program needs to allow for it, and this all must then happen under 3 months to allow legislation also to be put in place and effective. Chairperson members, that is our presentation. I don't know if there's a further clarifying question.
Thanks very much, Doctor. I forget the surname of your colleague. But by listening to it, I have a problem in pronunciation. But you're also welcome. Oh, okay. You are also welcome. Members, that's the briefing around the possibilities if the committee wants to do that. If there are clarity questions and so on, probably we can do that. We don't have to take a final decision. I'm sure members still have to look into it and consider, consult, and so on. We can deal with it at a later stage. But if there are questions, clarity from the legal services, members are free to do so. Honorable Sheikh.
Thank you. Is there any way that this legislation could be processed without public participation?
Of course.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. The Parliament has a constitutional duty to facilitate public participation. So we don't foresee there any form of legislation being processed with at least some degree of public participation being allowed. The degree must just be reasonable in the context of the legislation. That then was our main concern as well, with processing time. That if the committee didn't have that responsibility, it could be very easy. It's just merely maybe swapping a number or so, but we don't, in terms of that constitutional obligation, it's not allowed for the committee to proceed without actually consulting the public on such a bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Honorable Tekane? I also want to understand the very same section. If it is, well, to start with, the first question is this a fundamental change to the existing law? And if it is a minor, do we still have to go through the whole process of public participation? Is it not based on whether something is fundamental change or an appendage to the existing law? Honorable Killen?
Chairperson, if we could perhaps just have from the legal team just an indication of the time frame. In other words, if we look at the term of the current interim board, and we work backwards and say, what is the latest that this process must kick-start? Because there is a significant risk that we would have the corporation without a board if we don't do our calculations very, very carefully. In particular, since reference was made to the select committee in the NCOP and NCOP process, now my concern is, can't we perhaps as a committee just get an indication from the legal department what is it that we must start by when, and then we should actually take that timeline and sort of have it against our program of Parliament and that of the NCOP, so that we can then say what, you know, practically what date should this process be kick-started? Because already, as far as the other process is concerned, we're also running out of time. And this would be a significant oversight on the part of this committee if we place an additional risk on the South African Broadcasting Corporation. I think we should make sure that we actually get our act together and do, if we want to do that, alternatively, we we need to go in a different process to appoint a permanent board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Killen. Doctor?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. With regard to the question around fundamental change, Chairperson, in a bill, even a one word, it seems like a mere technical amendment can have a fundamental change. For example, if you say a change must to may, you bring in a discretion. With the time period, what must be kept in mind, it is quite significant to extend the period of an interim board, say for example 12 months. Because if you look in comparison to the appointment of the permanent board, there's certain requirements that there must be nominations from the public, it must be a transparent process, the role players must be, they're accountable for the steps taken in that appointment process. And because it's a public broadcaster, the public has an interest in the board. So the extension might be viewed by the public as a way of cutting them out. That transparency isn't there. They're not given the opportunity to nominate members that will now serve for a long-term period if you extend for possibly a year. So for a year, somebody, a board that wasn't appointed in that transparent and accountable manner will then, or in terms of the permanent board, I'm not saying it's not transparent, the committee and discusses it, but you don't have that nomination process that's going through and calling for the public to participate in the appointment process. So for that reason, such a small change can also be regarded as a fundamental change because you are changing the appointment process of the people who effectively run the SABC board. 6 months, I think, was... I spoke to a colleague of mine who assisted the committee with the drafting of that amendment, and it came out that even 6 months was highly debated as to whether that is not too long to have an interim board that isn't appointed through that normal appointment mechanism. So to extend that even further, seeing as there was such interest in that 6 months, if an extension would then also bring similar interest from the public, and therefore we also highlighted the public participation issue. So even though it's just a mere, it seems like a mere technical word replacement, it has the potential to be a fundamental change. So for that reason, then we can't bypass, because also section, even if it is just a technical one, section 59 of the Constitution says the National Assembly must facilitate public involvement, and that obligation nevertheless then still remains. With regard to the question of the timeline, Chairperson, it is advisable that rather sooner than later the process starts. If the memorandum, that's why we attach possible draft documents to facilitate the committee in running of the process. If the committee decides, if a decision is taken, a policy decision is taken by the committee that such an amendment is desirable, the memorandum seeking permission from the NA must be untabled as soon as possible. We unfortunately can't in detail do the tabling or the process and the timeline outline. What we can perhaps advise is that the committee secretary asked for the NA table and the NCOP table to give the committee an outline. If the committee tables a memorandum, say for example next week, seeking permission, what would the what in terms of the time frames they're working with for house sittings and protesting, would that fall within under the 3 weeks or 3 months for the committee to finalise realistically? That unfortunately we don't have the insight into that. But also if the committee goes and the committee tables a memorandum seeking permission, say for example next week, I think Ms. Ngoma indicated that there is plenary next week. If that is tabled, permission is granted, then automatically the committee can go into the gazetting of a bill as to be introduced with a call to public submission or public input. The committee can then get that during the recess period, supplement that with a call in the newspapers that can be, say, 2 weeks or so. It is possible to manage the process if we know what the NA and NCOP tables advise as to program. Thank you.
Honorable Killer.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just okay, it is understood that for argument's sake, we would kick start the process next week. We would go into constituency period We would revert back second week of July and the process starts officially, because now we have the permission, we do that, and you know, we meet the timelines, etc. Now, if we're sitting with the interim board for another 3 months, again, when we start calculating and we add another 6 months, which is essentially doubling up, so where would that take us? Would that take us past the next election? That is the question, firstly. Because worst would be that we're right in the middle of the campaign, Chairperson, and this committee must come and sit and conduct interviews. And it's right on the election, and you know, it's huge controversy, and the SABC is immediately turned into a political football or whatever. So I mean, we need to take that into account as well. But the second issue is, when we deliberated, and that is what I want to pose to the legal services now, when we deliberated, we said there were shortcomings in the Act. So this could therefore constitute the First Amendment Act. Can you pass more than one amendment act on one set of on the same set of legislation within 1 year? Is this then the First Amendment Act? And then you would process the Second Amendment Act when you have looked at the shortcomings in the Broadcasting Act, because that, as I understood it to be, was actually what the chairperson, well, certainly, if we start this process without going back to identify some significant shortcomings in the appointment process of the board, it's a useless exercise that we conduct. So is it possible? Can we do that, that we process two different pieces of amendment on the same bill within the same year? And is it acceptable practice, parliamentary practice?
Any other question before I go to Dr. Lott?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. With regard to the first part of that question, is the time period where we'd be at, whether the necessity for the appointment process of the permanent board falls within, say, a recess period or campaign period, or maybe next year when a new parliament is convened, that will depend on the policy decision the committee takes as to the number to replace the 6, whether it's been a 9 or a 12 or a 16, that will determine that. But if we look at, say, now just for the 3 months to do the amendments, and now I'm just doing a quick calculation off the cuff, we're now in June, so we can use the recess period to get all the admin into place, call for public participation, that all of that is already when members come back in the second week of July, have that, almost have the public hearing scheduled immediately with the committee going into deliberation, say the day after, because it will be a short amendment, a one clause amendment almost. That then, have that in the second reading in the House in a program permitting the next week referral to the select committee, and then if the select committee has already been consulted before the time to warn that this is coming, and public submissions and all of that sent to them, that they have insight into the process. I think that because it's a Section 75, or we predict that it's advisable that it be seen as a Section 75, that then will be a smooth process through the select committee hopefully as well. So that it is possible it's going to be tight, but it's possible in a program, NCOP program, allowing that it can be done in August with the extension then kicking in before the board has to dissolve. The second question with regard to whether another amendment can be brought to the same bill, in terms of the Constitution, Parliament is the primary legislative authority. Nothing prevents Parliament and then through the Parliamentary Committee, if a need is identified, to amend Act to do so again. For example, even a department can table further additional amendments to the same bill in the same year, because it's Parliament's functions, Parliament's powers. We don't see anything legally preventing the committee from, after this amendment, if a need or certain shortfalls are specifically identified, to then go and say, but we now need to amend this further, or there might be certain consequential amendments to follow. And there's nothing legally preventing it. practice-wise, I don't know whether it's good practice or bad practice, but if the need is there and the public interest demands it, I can't foresee anything preventing the committee. Constitutionally speaking, the committee has that, or the National Assembly and Parliament has that power. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just wondering, it is normal practice when a draft is published for comment that people, institutions, NGOs, whatever interested party would tend to go beyond just the proposed amendments, whether it be by the minister, whether it's going to be by the committee. So chances are that we've got our reasons for perhaps sticking to a particular clause that we want to amend. What happens if in the submissions interested parties go beyond that and want to make additional amendments to the bill or to the act, and we then ignore those submissions because we're looking at a particular amendment in view of the time frame that we've got? But what is the constitutionality then of simply ignoring such submissions that are then made during that those public hearings? Thank you.
Doctor?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I think I'm going to set the example of a departmental bill because it's usually quite lengthy. And what is allowed there is if an amendment bill to a principal act speaks to certain sections, a committee, it might just call for amendment of a sub-clause, but because we are then tampering almost in, say, section 16, members of the public go, but sub A also has a problem, so can't we address that? You are allowed, and committees are allowed then to do almost consequential amendments within the frame of the sections to be amended in the bill as tabled. So in that instance, then the public kind of goes wild and says, but clauses 1, 6, 9, 8 are all addressed. We're going to address additional issues to that. That is allowed, and that's usually when your broader comments come in. In this bill, the committee will specifically be tabling or gazetting an amendment bill that seeks to amend 15A, which will limit the scope of the public for comments and then for amendments in anything else only in 15A. That is not unconstitutional to limit the bill. Because in terms of the rules, a committee, whether it's a departmental bill or a private member's bill or a committee bill, here the committee is seeking permission to amend 15A. Say, for argument's sake, the National Assembly grants that permission. That is the mandate given to the committee in terms of legislating them. And then if the public comes and they say, but we want to amend Section 3, 8, and 9 as well, the committee will require permission from the NA to do such other amendments. So it's not that the committee will be acting unconstitutionally as they go, but these fall outside the scope of the amendment bill as tabled and as called for a public comment. So it will be slightly different because it's not such a lengthy amendment bill that the public might go, but we want further input. And then I think the committee can merely table a report if the comments raise valid issues that call for desirable amendments. Then, as Honourable Killian has indicated, there's a possibility of further amendments, and that can then be communicated to the public that their concerns have been heard, the committee is taking note thereof, and a further request for amendment will be sought. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I'm sorry we have clarify some of the issues. I will take it that it will be upon the committee in terms of how to take forward the whole issue and see how to move forward. But I think it's okay. Honorable Killer, you seem to want to say something.
Chairperson, no, I was just wondering, first of all, we're saying there are no financial considerations, which is true, except that we're going to have two public participation processes. But it's neither here nor there. It's not significant, you know. But the second point that I just wanted to raise was, can you throw, two birds with one stone? And that is namely that when you advertise for this amendment, you're also saying the committee intends to process the Second Amendment Bill to address the governance shortcomings in the Broadcasting Act. And say, for instance, governance shortcomings and appointment processes of the board, whatever, board of directors, matters relating to the board. Can you give an indication that you have that intention so that you could also ask, as Honourable Steyn has now said, you know, they come in with additional comments, or is that completely a separate process? Would that be unprocedural for us to do that, or is it allowable?
Thank you, Chair. I'm now going to be talking a bit on gut feel. I'll have to go look into it. But my instinct here is that permission for that will also have to be sought from the NA, because that that call will be aimed at facilitating a further amendment, not this specific amendment. So I would advise, just taking consideration the way the rules are designed, that a separate memorandum will have to be published in the House calling for that, and then that can be published. And it might be desirable then for the committee to schedule the call for that public comment together, because they may speak to one another. But in terms of the process, I don't think that this request will be very specific. It will to allow for speedy processing. It will have to be specific. It's 15A3B. This is the purpose to table the bill. Otherwise, the one request might actually delay the proper processing of the bill and then impact and then leave the committee going beyond the 3 months that's left for the FABC board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We are fine. Thanks very much. We will call on you when we have further issues around this matter and so on. Members, that's the view or the advice from the legal services in terms of how to deal with the matter. But like I said, that probably is the matter which we need to digest. And then we have to take a decision probably on our next meeting, so that when we fall into the constituency period, at least the admin part of this is done, and so on. Thanks very much. Members, can we go to our next item, which will be the BSA Strategic Plan and Budget Report. Do you have the document? I don't want to repeat the same. Do you have the did you receive the document, member? You have been with it. We're on page one. On page two of the report, Honourable Sheen.
Yes, Chair. At the bottom of the page, the paragraph starting as a matter of the paragraph starting as clear, but the last sentence starting as a matter of fact. I'm not quite sure what that sentence should read. It says, as a matter of fact, most countries, we're talking about a branding logo. It says, as a matter of fact, most countries have, but a tourism logo. I mean, is that most countries have a tourism logo and we don't? I mean, I'm not quite sure what that should say. The logo that the South African Tourism seems to use is the branding SA logo, which is the flag and their immense opportunities or whatever it is at the bottom of that thing. So that's what seems to be what Tourism SA uses, its brand SA's logo. So I assume we have a logo. Are we saying that other countries don't have a branding logo?
Mm-hmm.
Let's come back to its members. We're just trying to track it. We will come back to it and correct it. It does not make sense, as Honorable Shin has indicated. On page 3, if you, after that page, we'll come back to this one. Honorable Shin?
Again, just clarity. If we look at the on page 3, where the bullet points are, the first bullet point above, or rather below, domestic key focus, we say brand alignment among stakeholders and seeding positioning. I think I know what it means, but the way it's said here, for somebody that just reads the report, I'm not sure if that will make sense, and perhaps we can enhance on that. But don't ask me to give an enhancement just yet.
What are you saying when I was saying?
I'm saying that seeding positioning does not quite make sense to somebody that just reads the report. And perhaps we just need to expand on that, about what is meant by that.
Okay. The only problem, Honorable Stein, is that I hear what you're saying. It's probably that's why we even took time ourselves to understand it when it appeared on their document. But we're just taking it as it is from their document, from Brenda's domestic, when they were, you see that document they used to present. So we just took it as it is. We have not changed it. Or give it something. But what is your proposal to simplify it? In particular, if you've got a feeling that the public, when they read the report, they might be confused.
If you did a bit of a survey here just amongst the members, how many of us actually know exactly what they're trying to say? I certainly am confused about what exactly it that means. And that's why I wanted to propose that we just unpack it a little bit. But I don't have, right now, I don't have a suggestion. And perhaps it's because I don't really know what they're trying to do with that.
Honorable Keelan.
You know, Chairperson, looking at the mandate that they have, if we refer in that clause to positioning, and we read what the rest of it says, maybe we should help them to help us, but perhaps it is international positioning. Because ultimately, our brand is competing internationally. And if we think about it, the mere fact, the reference to ambassadorship in the next one, etc., it refers to us positioning our brand internationally.
Okay. That's why I proposed the workshop between the committee and them in that meeting, because we need some time to go into details in terms of what they do exactly, other than high-flying high-flying thing and so on. Kylen? This term they are confusing. But you see, what they are trying to say there is that when you align the brand amongst the stakeholders and the seeding position, it's because the problem is that you've got some of the stakeholders, but on the initial stage, the issue of the brand is not embedded. It's not embedded on the embryo, what do you call it, embryotic stage. Only later you will want to deal with it by the issue of the brand to align it and so on. So the seeding positioning part of it is that how do you make sure that from the onset, as you plant a seed, when you plant a seed, that's what, because now they are talking about domestic. Remember that even BSA domestic, we're not doing very well. We have been focusing international. But what they want to do, they want also to focus domestic, local, in terms of how to make sure that the stakeholders and these other people, that they make sure that this part of their brand become patent. Okay. Let me.
Can I try? Can we not say aligning and embedding the brand and its positioning among stakeholders? That's wrong. Aligning stakeholders, in other words, aligning the brand and enhancing its position amongst stakeholders.
we agreed with it. We agreed with it, but I think the workshop would help in terms of clarifying some of these things into detail. Can we go to page 4? We'll come back to page 2 on our sheet, which we have read. Mike? Otherwise, when we remind you about what you said, you are going to give
page
you,
5.
And we can't give you the answer.
Page 5, it's on the third line. Three forum on China cooperation for CAC and civities. For the sake of completeness, shouldn't we not suppose to have also written what CVITS is? Yeah, for somebody looking at the report.
Thank you.
that we look to. Honorable senior hands of up, will give the
Chair on page 7. As far as I recall, last week's meeting, we didn't discuss whether we approved the strategic plan and budget for Brand SA. So I think that whole sentence is incorrect. You know, if anything, I would say that we adopt the strategic plan, and if the rest of the committee wants to adopt the budget, that's, you know, their prerogative, but the DA would like to reserve its position on the budget vote. And we would like it tabled in the ACC that we have reserved our position, please.
We'll come about to that matter of the tabling and not tabling. So you are saying we've adopted the strategic plan. And what are they using to implement the strategic plan? To adopt the strategic plan without a budget, what does that mean? What then happens? What are they using to implement the strategic plan? Technically, I'm just asking, maybe so that we understand this thing, that there was a separation of a budget and a strategic plan. If you adopt a strategic plan, then what? Can you implement a strategic plan without a budget? I'm just raising that. In terms of you adopt a strategic plan, once you adopt, they expect to implement it. But to implement the strategic plan, you need money. Now, probably let's discuss it so that in future we don't have the confusion or misunderstanding amongst ourselves in terms of how to deal with it. Members, can we discuss that? I'm interested to understand adoption of a strategic plan and exclusion of a budget. What does that mean?
Chair, we just actually want to reserve our position because we actually vote on the budget. The whole National Assembly votes on the budget next week and with the, what do we call it? I forget what the term of it is now. And we just want it to be noted that we reserve our position until we have a caucus decision on what the budget, on whether we support the budget. Because then we may have problems with how it's been allocated. And that's what why we actually asked to reserve our position.
No, that's okay, Honourable Member. But I was only raising that a strategic plan is linked to a budget. If you adopt a strategic plan, there should be a budget link about that, because if it's only a strategic plan, it means it's as good as not even adopting. Tammy?
Requires that the accounting officers must submit the medium-term strategic plan, including the annual performance, and then the manager's amendment procedure and related matters. It's very clear that Parliament will either reject or recommend the budget of department. So I think what Honourable Sim is raising, she has clarified it, but it's committee level. I think this is our duty to recommend the budget of BSC. That's what why we're doing it, mandatory to the committee. And that's precisely what we're doing. But I think the explanation is clear that on their part, as it is, and I think we cannot deny them that opportunity. But now it's a committee. That's just precisely what we're doing. So, to recommend the budget. of PSA.
No, thanks very much. No, it's understandable. It's understandable. I was just trying to understand for my sake between a strategy and budget whether one can go without the other one. No, thanks very much. We will take note of that, Honorable Shin. What is the term we have used?
We reserve the Democratic Alliance reserves its position on the budget vote for this department, whatever it's called. I don't know what vote number it is. What is it? Budget vote one on brand SA.
Okay. No. Thanks very much. Remember, going back to page 2. Can I request our researcher to explain that part?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think what the analysis was trying to explain there is that it's only in South Africa that you'd have brand essays with their pay of line inspiring new ways across the board. In certain countries, like for instance, brand number one, which is in terms of the country brand, it would be America. They have different payoff lines in their various activities, which is trying to promote their brand. So probably I think we can just strike it off, because I've just double-checked it that it really doesn't make any good reading. Thanks.
How do you propose us to delete the sentence, which doesn't make sense?
Yes, I've just said we must strike it off, because if you look at the continuing sentence, it then explains that it's only in South Africa where you have brand SA logo, including the payoff line, which is also adopted by other activities, like for instance, the tourism SA.
Thanks very much. With that explanation, when it comes to the terminology, Honorable Shin? Honorable Shin?
Yeah.
Then you follow?
Me, okay. Thank you. I'm then just trying to simplify that last paragraph, because should we then. At the word at the end of the sentence that ends with harmonized, should we not just say South Africa has achieved consistency with its brand inspiring new ways and the South African flag or something like that, just to actually state that we have achieved consistency across all the uses for branding South Africa. I just have a minute to play with some words, Chair, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
You are playing with your words. Coming back to the issue raised by Honorable Ntandi on the abbreviation, the first one. Is the Institute for the Study for Civil Society, FCA, Formal Concept Analysis, BA, Bilateral Agreement, KLOs, Key Opinion Leaders, GSA, Global South African Network, FTA, Free Trade Areas, SIP, Strategic Integration Processes. But the final report will have them explained, not as it currently in the report, because there's no explanation for those abbreviations and so on. Have you played with the word, Honorable Chief?
It's in that paragraph after the full stop, after the word harmonized. Could we insert brand South Africa has achieved such consistency with its Inspiring New Ways logo?
Members, agreed? Can you repeat it, Honorable Velma? For Honorable Velma, just asking you to repeat it.
Brand South Africa has achieved such consistency with its Inspiring New Ways logo. And that part of the paragraph starting from the logo to the end of it as it stands in what we had before us then falls away.
Agreed. Member. Sub. Okay. I will insert that. The one issue which we need to deal with is what Honorable Shin has raised about the report containing the reservations and the objections and so on. It's just that Mthambi has just left now, once we wanted to deal with the issue. Probably is to wait for her to come back, because I know that it has been raised in the one of their forums. But from the section head or manager of the committee, they are saying it's entirely for the committee to take that decision. It's the report, whether or not it's entirely the committee. But there's a view, that's why I wanted the chief forum to discuss the matter so that we got one uniform position, because we got various positions. The section manager is saying it's up to the committee to agree because it's the report. On the other side, others are saying when the report, that's why the report, when it's presented to parliament, parties are given an opportunity to state their case. So you don't have a uniform response. So it depends who do you talk to and so on. As my original request was that this should be a formal item discussing the chief with forum or through the strike. I thought I'd got one position as parliament. You see, this side is this, the other side is that. It will seem it depends on people how they interpret whatever they are dealing with and so on. But I wanted probably Honorable Mthambi to be here so that we deal with that particular matter and so on. Probably we can just not finalize the report now and deal with the issue of the committee strategy planning workshop. We'll come back into it when Mthambi is back so that we address the issue raised by Honorable Shin. Can we do that, member? Go to the strategic workshop document or report. We'll come back to this report when in time it is back. For the strategic workshop, we've got quite a lot of documents. There are three, actually. You've got the one which is the return strategic planning workshop. You've got annex chap BA, which is saying parliamentary portfolio strategic workshop, annex chap A. And then we've got annex chap B, PCC oversight strategy roadmap, 2013-14 and beyond. So these are the three documents we are having. Annex chap C, the one for the budget, is what Parliament has given in the budget. It's not for the workshop itself. What Parliament gave off is the proposed budget from the workshop, which is annex chap C. So we've got four documents. Do you have all four of them? There should be four. The strategic planning workshop, annex A, annex B, and annex C. The main document to use is the report itself. And the other documents are supporting the report in detail. If you like diagrams and the other things, you get it in detail on the other report. The extra report is more of the executive summary and the working part of it. Do you have the report, member? What do you want to do with it? I don't see any end, you see. It's quiet, so honorable team.
I think it's a fair sort of representation of the documents and discussion that went on. My only concern is the sort of wrap-up of on page 8 of the report, because my disappointment with this workshop was that we didn't actually come up with a decision on what we were going to do with the rest of the year. You know, there was sort of very general discussion. I had suggested that our priorities were broadband and the transition to digital television, and that we should focus on meeting with the people and the entities involved specifically in that, because that was obviously, and also the cost to communicate, which would be ICASA basically. That we needed to have an intensive time with ICASA and with the digital migration people. And then when the thing ended, we hadn't actually made a decision as to whether we were actually going to focus on those or who we were going to. There was some sort of general thing about we should perhaps go to Pretoria, but we didn't actually make any decisions about what the rest of our parliamentary program was going to focus on. There was obviously a whole lot of stuff that we needed to do. We're obviously going to get bogged down with annual reports. There was also the issue of the SABC board. But we didn't really discuss any draft program and what the priorities should be. And yet this sort of says that obviously that there needed to be final adoption, but we didn't actually come up with a draft program. And I think that was a lack of the workshop. I don't know whether you can do that now.
Thank you, Honourable Singh. But I think, members, it's about prioritizing what we want to do. Because, as you say, a workshop, we've dealt with a lot of issues. If for the committee we think that digital migration, cost to communicate, what is the third one? Broadband, our priorities, that's what you will be able to do. But in the workshop, we're dealing with everything, our weaknesses, strengths, and so on. But, of course, because of time and so on. I think the other thing, honorable members, which seems to be difficult also, is that we still don't have formally the amendment and so on which we need to be dealing with this year, which make it sometimes difficult on how do you plan in terms of a program. Because we know, we've seen them, we've received an indication from through the office of the Speaker that these amendments have been coming, but we still don't have them. You can't even start to anticipate the time which you'll spend and the other things, because we don't know the gravity, to what extent those amendments are and so on. So that makes us a little bit difficult. But my take is that if our issue is that we need to ensure digital migration, cost to communicate, and broadband, those are the three key areas we must focus at. We should be able to say so, but depending on the time and the space for the program, then we'll be able to programatize those areas. Honorable Shin?
Chair, in another meeting, I once had a discussion with the health chair asking what was going to be the, or if they had at that stage any clarity on what the legislative program for Parliament was going to be, you know, for the rest of this Parliament. And he said that there was probably going to be very little legislation pushed through the rest of the Parliament, simply because Parliament didn't have the time left. Have they not actually made a decision yet on what is feasible for them to do, what is feasible to be processed through the House in the time that's left until the election? Because surely you should all be having, I mean, it's not only us that's probably having this problem, but every committee is probably wanting to know what it should prioritise for the next 6-8 months. And surely there's, you know, when we talk now about the steps that need to be taken for legislation to be passed, has Parliament, the programming committee not actually decided we can only process 3 new pieces of legislation for the rest of the year, or is everybody in limbo?
There's no clear-cut decision in terms of which one and so on. Probably it's a matter which at one point they said they are appealing to the department to understand the time constraint and prioritize what is it which can happen, which one can stand over. But again, there's no clear cut, because what they sent to us were the 4 or 5 amendments: ECA, ICASA, ETC, and so on and so on, and SAPO and the postbank. Yes. And so we had 5. At that time, we didn't talk about anything about the Broadcasting Act. It was just that fact. So if you talk anything about Broadcasting Act, it means it's fixed. Now, the issue that is what they are raising, the time to do that, whether it's going to be there or not. So, but they have not finally, because you see the issue that they send it to us, but it's not final. You don't have a final processing or a submission with the committee now to say Department X want to do this already forwarded to the committee. That we know with the possible amendments which are coming. But finally, which one will be before us are not yet with us, and so on. So I hope that process is unfolding, going to conclude quicker, because in terms of the correspondences, all legislation was supposed to be here before 7 June. 7 June has passed. But the Honorable Shinman maybe can help us because it deals with some of this. All what I was saying, we can prioritize certain things which we want to do as a committee with a province, so that we've got those things coming. So it will depend what time we'll have in addition to what will finally come to us in terms of how to approach our work. And so, it's a dicey one. Honorable Shinman, can you help? Welcome, and can you help on the programming and the legislation?
No, I'm not Chair, but I'm here as a member of the Portfolio Committee. But no, on a more serious note, the deadline for the submission of legislation was the 7th of June. However, and that was Parliament's deadline set by the presiding officers. However, if it's deemed that legislation is absolutely crucial, then there is leeway for that to be introduced, but obviously it gets discussed with the presiding officers. So as I say, the deadline and the cut-off for submission was the 7th of June, but accommodation can be made on a case-by-case basis if the piece of legislation is crucial and needs to get passed in a matter of urgency. So that's really what I could give an indication on.
Thank you. As it is. So, members, we're discussing the workshop report. We have quite a lot of issues there. Honorable Sheen was proposing that probably as a committee, our priority should be around the digital migration, call to communicate, and broadband. Besides the other things which are statutory, we have to deal with and so on. Are we agreeable around that, members? All of these things are part of our report, except that the report has got more than what, more than the three. But she was recommending that probably what we should prioritize more and above the other issues which we have to do anyway. Agreed? You see, today you are very nice. So I will check it that the report and its annexes are adopted with the reprioritization of the three as suggested by Honorable Sheen. Agreed? Okay. Thank you. We are going back to the Brand SA report. We are waiting for Honorable Ntambi. And this committee is rich because Honorable Schneeman is also here. They are dealing with this thing. Is the issue raised last time that what becomes the proper approach in terms of the report of the committee? Do you have to write on the report of the committee that Party X is reserving its rights, da-da-da, and so on, as one issue? Because remember, we raised this issue, we said it does not seem to be clear what exactly needs to happen and so on. So, from the committee section side, the manager of the section, Mark Philander, his indication is that it's a report of the committee. It's up to the committee to decide about its report. I was indicating that on the other quarters, we've got an indication to say the reason why parties, when the reporter put table in the house, they're given an opportunity to indicate precisely to raise those issues and so on. So we've got seemingly a lot of position in one issue and so on. But we wanted to get from your side in terms of interacting with those issues, how did you come up? Honorable Schneeman, you can also help.
Yeah. We discussed this thing. And then, like, the rules doesn't say anything about that, but in all fairness, I don't see any reason why if somebody say, I want my objection or my rights, the reservation of my right to decide for it to be noted in the minutes, because even that is recorded that I've got reservation on this report. But that doesn't mean that the report doesn't get adopted by the committee. It does not that the objection is an objection or the reservation.
But, Chair, then the party that concerned must actually indicate that. I thought I was on the floor. Chair, what I was saying is that the party must then indicate that. And we had a situation now when we were passing committee budget reports where suddenly parties were saying, but they object to the report, but they actually never said a word in the portfolio committee. So I'm saying in terms of this committee, if a party wants to object or have it recorded, they must indicate that. because otherwise what goes back to whips of parties is a different story. I'm not saying it happens here, but it's something that happened last week.
The issue is, where do you note it in the report? I think that's where the issue is. Where do you note it? In the body of the report adopted by the committee. That's where the issue seems to be. Honourable Sima?
Well, Chair, you know, it's going into the ATC, so it should form part of the report. Because you do indicate, the report does indicate that the report, the committee adopted the report. So if somebody, if a particular party says, well, you know, we wish to abstain from adopting the report, etc., that's part of your proceeding and part of the proceedings around the adoption of the report. So I would imagine it should then be, should be reflected in that report, unless the work has other information that I'm not aware of.
Honourable Tambi.
But it's certainly my point to say we don't lose anything by noting the objection in the report itself. Just as it's noted.
Thanks very much. So can we live with that? Can we live with that? That on the report, like on the BSA one, we will have to indicate that the democratic, the report is adopted, but we have to note what the Honourable Shin raised, that they reserve.
We reserve our position on the budget vote.
Okay. That they reserve their position on the budget vote.
Chair, may I just...
Okay.
Then because this reservation wasn't reflected in the previous two budget report that we did, that's DCIS and the department. I will be obliged during the votes and schedules next week to correct in the House that we did reserve our position on this and that wasn't reflected in the ATC at the time. Thank you.
I thought that in the House when the budget are presented, parties have got an opportunity to. It's not that's why others believe that it should not be on the actual report, but still have that opportunity in the House. So that one is solely to the parties too. But I hear what you are saying. But remember that we never had this depth discussion about this matter as a committee, because different people understood it differently, like I was saying. But I think now, because we are finally, as a committee, come to an understanding on how to process this thing, then that's how we'll carry it moving forward and so on. There's nothing much probably can do with GIS and DOC, except that if the Democratic Alliance has an objection on the report on those budgets, then what you do during the declarations and the other things in the House and so on. But as we're agreeing today, then we'll be able to reflect it as we're saying that's how we're going to indicate our report. Agree, members, can I have a mover and a seconder of the report, the PSA report, with the reservation of Democratic Alliance? So can I get who's moving the report? I'll see by show of hands. Mthambi?
I move for the adoption of the BSA strike plan and the budget report.
Seconder? Yes, with the amendments.
With the amendments, Chair, yes.
Yes, thanks very much. For BSA report, the report which we are going to send to you, members of BSA, is going to have that watermark thing which will be returned finance report. So if it comes to you with that watermark finance, it will be the report after the amendment which you have adopted here. The strategic plan workshop report, any mover in a seconder with the prioritization of cost to communicate, digital migration and broadband.
Chair, I'll move the adoption of the report.
No. we are adopting the entire strategic plan. Because I must explain, we adopt the entire strategic plan, but because of time, we want to reprioritize. It does not mean that the others fall off. They remain part of the report. But if time allows us, we'll be able to focus on how to communicate digital migration and broadband. But with all the other things in the report, it does not mean, because maybe I must explain, because the administration is worried. Because there are administrative things which we put in the report for argument's sake. We said we need to continue to find ways of developing the metrics of the committee, how the committee can have a dashboard also to see in terms of its decision and recommendation how far they are implemented. So the administrative issues, the documentation of our oversight work, recommendation, how did we do and where we are, and so on. All those administrative issues will proceed. But these three will be where the committee maybe go out and engage on those issues or call entities or institutions to parliament to engage with them with these issues and so on. I'm not distorting what you were talking about, members, I suppose, but that's my understanding. Can I get a mover and a seconder of the strategic plan workshop for the point? Honorable Shin and? But I must get a seconder. Honorable Shin is long, or Honorable Mthambi, or Nsebe, and then Drochen. Honorable Drochen?
Honorable.
Honorable Nivot.
Are you okay?
Yes. Thank you.
So we are done with the two reports now, but the minutes of 4 and 5 minutes.
The minutes of 4 and 5 were on the minutes of 4th June, on page 1. Any omission there on apologies and so on? Why is Sebe or Chief? And the members is also there, okay. Oh, okay, okay. Anything on page 1? Page 2. I've got the difficulty to pronounce your surname, you see, but I, what I see here might not be your surname. Is your surname M-N or M-J?
M-J.
No N. I might have difficulty to pronounce, but I see when it's not your surname. Or I will send your answer.
Thank you, Chief. On the item 4 on page 2, we say Dr. Obedian, let me just read that sentence, needed to replace Dr. Obedian as he was conflicted as a member of the interim SABC board. I think we should reformulate that. But more importantly, we then continue and we say he indicated. Now, my first reaction was that since the last person that we're talking about was Dr. Obedian, it would follow that we're saying that Dr. Obedian indicated that there were problems at the SABC board, when in fact you indicated that. So my suggestion then is that we go back to the chairperson indicated, just to correct that. But certainly if we could just reformulate as he was conflicted as a member, I don't think it's quite correct. He had a conflict of interest, or he believed he had a conflict of interest. He wasn't conflicted as a member.
No, that's okay. He can be conflicted because he has not entered into that act of being conflicted. You are right.
he needed to be replaced because of the possible conflict of interest. Not necessarily that he was already conflicted. So we have to correct that. And then you are right that they probably must find a separation between the continuous line, because it's not him who was talking about the other issues and so on. That will be fine, page 3. I'm sure all members, they receive a lot of documents from the DG. Okay. That's fine. It's your information. Page 5. Except that they were direct from the DG, not from the committee text. Those documents. Okay. Honorable State.
Chairperson, on page 4, if I may just take you back. Now, I'm not sure if this is what was said. Let me just raise the concern and then we can talk about it. It's the third line from the bottom of the first paragraph where it talks about the appointment of DGs, which is done through Parliament and therefore makes it hard for her to take unilateral and decisive action.
Where is that, Dr.?
The first paragraph, the third line from the bottom of that first paragraph.
Okay.
And it starts with the appointment of DGs.
Okay.
And it's stated here that the minister said that the appointment of DGs, which is done through Parliament. Now, that is not correct.
No, it's not.
I think she may have said it is done through
DPSA.
Either the presidency or DPSA.
No, that's correct. Actually, appointment of DGs is done also through cabinet. It's not a decision of one minister. It's done through cabinet. But when you come to manage them, DPSA also become involved. So you can't directly deal with the DG with the outside DPSA and finally cabinet and so on. I think that's what she was talking about. Yes. Yes, Mr.
On the next paragraph, it says, I'll continue when we have one discussion, Chair, if they want to finish their discussion.
No, it's fine. Everyone has their minutes in time. If people are ready, they know what to correct. Maybe. If they don't have, they don't have.
The second paragraph.
The Honorable Prime Minister wants to know what is the issue. What Honorable is saying is that he's tired of correcting minutes.
It's unfortunately every meeting, even in the political organization, they've got minutes and they are confirmed and corrected. It's unfortunate. It's administrative procedure, Honorable State. There's nothing you can do with that.
Thank you, Chair. Just the second paragraph, it says the DG has since returned to the department because the court had instructed her to go back to work. That's not quite correct. She appealed the minister's decision for a special leave, and the court had then overturned that. I don't know if it's an instruction to go back to work. Well, the court did not instruct her to go back to work. The court rather overturned that special leave or the suspension of the minister for the DG not to be at work.
And Tambi?
Order, not
all, instruct.
Nothing. Agreed. The minutes for the 5th of June. Okay. Honorable Nivot Rocker.
Thank you, Jay. The minutes of the 5th of June, I want to get to that meeting. I was on my way only to find that that meeting.
Or you didn't arrive, or you didn't find the attendance ready?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I wasn't in another meeting.
Okay. Mthambi?
Nothing happened.
Rather by attending course, that is in International Relations Committee. Mm.
Thank you. That's why I just write on the attendance register. Absent apology because it's so strong. thanks very much, Honorable Neville Drogen. Page 2. Only a page minute, excluding the attendance and so on. Agreed? On a page?
Yeah, just a grammatical correction, very small on page 2,
yes.
Item 3. Mr. Matola presented the on the.
Okay. Agreed? Thanks very much. We are done with the minutes of the 4th and the 5th. Honorable State?
I don't believe anybody's proposed adoption of the conduct amendment.
If I say agree and you say yes, I move. unless you want Mthambi. As we have moved, Honorable Stay in the minutes, the 2 sets of minutes in Mthambi second them. Agreed? thanks very much. Members, time is half past 11 and that concludes the business of today. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, I said it.